thank you for joining us at the First Baptist Church of Coleraine, Massachusetts. Today, Pastor Jim is continuing his series in 1 Corinthians. It is our prayer that this message will encourage the believer and bring the unbeliever closer to a saving knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 8. I'm going to read in the whole chapter. All 13 verses. Now about food sacrificed to idols. We know that we all possess knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. The man who thinks he knows something does not yet know as he ought to know. But the man who loves God is known by God. So then, about eating food sacrificed to idols. We know that an idol is nothing at all in the world and that there is no God but one. For even if there are so-called gods, whether in heaven or on earth, as indeed there are many gods and many lords, yet for us there is but one God, the Father, from whom all things came and for whom we live, and there is but one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom all things came and through whom we live. But not everyone knows this. Some people are still so accustomed to idols that when they eat such food, they think of it as having been sacrificed to an idol. And since their conscience is weak, it is defiled. But food does not bring us near to God. We are no worse if we do not eat, and no better if we do. Be careful, however, that the exercise of your freedom does not become a stumbling block to the weak. For if anyone with a weak conscience sees you who have this knowledge eating in the idol's temple, won't he be emboldened to eat what has been sacrificed to idols? So this weak brother for whom Christ died is destroyed by your knowledge. When you sin against your brothers in this way and wound their weak conscience, you sin against Christ. Therefore, if what I eat causes my brother to fall into sin, I will never eat meat again, so that I will not cause him to fall. May God give us understanding of his word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask you for your wisdom to give us understanding of these words that we've read this morning that are spiritually discerned. But we need spiritual discernment to be able to understand what's being written and the purpose behind this letter that was written to the Corinthian church, and we can draw some practical things from this message that apply to us today. So give us that understanding, help us to concentrate, help us not to be distracted, and teach us this morning through this message that we have prepared for each one of us. In Jesus' name, amen. This chapter, the Apostle Paul answers the question whether it was okay for Christians to eat meat that had been offered to idols as a blood sacrifice in the pagan temples in Corinth, Greece. Was it okay to eat that meat that had been sacrificed to idols? Some Christians had no problem eating that meat, because now they had They had the knowledge. They are saved. They had the freedom in Christ. They believed and knew that all the so-called pagan gods, small g, did not exist. They were not real. So meat was just meat. They had no problem eating that meat. Now, this group of believers were exercising their Christian liberty to eat whatever they wanted to eat, because they knew that meat was just meat. It had no evil attached to it. It was just meat. But Paul warned that knowledge puffs up. And some people become arrogant because of their knowledge. So these people that were eating the meat were kind of being an offense to the ones that had a problem eating it, because it reminded them of their old pagan lifestyle and what that meat represented. And Paul says love amongst believers is equally, if not more important than just knowing the truth. Just having knowledge is not enough. You can have all the knowledge in the world without being a loving person. We can know the truth without putting it into practice. It's one thing to have knowledge about Jesus, but it's another to show his love. And that's not always easy, is it? Especially for those that do not show love towards us. But Jesus tells us to love our enemies and to pray for our enemies. And it's not an easy thing to do, but that's what we're supposed to do if you want to live in peace and have a clear conscience. So we have to be careful what we say and what we do, not to be an offense to the weaker brother, the immature Christians, if you like. They've got a sensitive conscience. Paul agreed that it was okay to eat that meat. Paul didn't have a problem eating it. In verse 4, he said that, as to eating of food to idols, offered to idols, we know that an idol has no real existence. That there is no God but one. I hope you realize that. I hope you know that already, that there's only one God, but there are three persons in the Godhead. God the Father, God the Son, Jesus Christ, and God the Holy Spirit. But these three are one God, the same in substance, equal in power and glory. Apparently, however, some of the Christians, Paul says in verse 7, did not possess this knowledge about God. Evidently, these were new converts, immature in their faith. And they were offended when some of the more knowledgeable Christians were eating meat that was offensive to them, because they'd been saved out of that religious pagan lifestyle. And Paul explains who the weaker Christians are. He said, but some, through former association with idols, they eat food as really offered to an idol, and their conscience, being weak, is defiled. Some said it was okay to eat that meat. And some said if they ate that meat, they just didn't feel right about it. They just didn't feel right about doing it. It offended their conscience. So when the ones that didn't have a problem eating the meat, they were upset when they saw them eating this meat. Some believers were ashamed to associate with anything that reminded them of their former religious background, when they used to worship idols, but they did it in ignorance. So to be reminded of what they did, it made them feel ashamed. It hurt It hurt their conscience. But eating that meat, it didn't bother the conscience of some of those more mature Christians at all. It didn't bother them at all. Because they knew that meat was just meat, that idols have no life, they have no substance, and they have no power. They don't exist. They're not real. They're things that are created by man, made out of wood and stone and whatever. That's all it is. Nevertheless, eating that meat bothered the consciences of some of those believers. And Paul says that it's better you don't do it. Better not eat that meat, because if you do, it's only going to upset the others that think it's wrong. So even though they had the liberty to eat the meat, Paul is saying, don't eat it, because you're offending those that refuse to eat it. So what's the principle for us, even today? Yes, we have the freedom to do whatever we want to do. We're not under law. We're under grace, but that doesn't give us the liberty to do everything we want to do and say everything that we want to say, because it may be offensive to other people. Sometimes you can't avoid hurting people's feelings, because the truth always hurts, doesn't it? And that's what I had to tell somebody recently. That's why they crucified Jesus, because he told the truth. We have the freedom as Christians, but we have to limit our liberty in Christ for the sake of other Christians that have not yet matured in their understanding of certain matters that are not clearly forbidden in Scripture. They don't have the knowledge. The meat in and of itself was not the problem. It was just meat, yeah? Paul says in verse 8, food will not, well, let's read this version. But food will not bring us near to God. We are no worse if we do not eat, and no better if we do. It's just meat. Jesus himself, Mark chapter 7, verse 15, he said, Jesus, there is nothing outside of a person that by going into him through the mouth, that going into him can defile him. But the things that come out of a person are what defile him. See, what comes out of a person's mouth is already in their heart already. So it's best not to say anything, isn't it? Sometimes. Otherwise, you may put your foot in it. But you find out what people really think about you, don't you? When they tell you, because, hey, that's what's in that person's heart. And the Bible says the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Now, the issue that concerned Paul more than anything else was hurting the conscience of those sensitive believers. So he says in verse 9, but take care that this right of yours does not somehow become a stumbling block to the weak. Don't allow what you do to cause another brother or sister to sin. In other words, so what he's saying is Christians are called to love one another and limit our Christian liberty for the sake of others, so that we don't offend their weak consciences by what we do. And we can give you a number of illustrations, all right? Let's use alcohol, for instance. Now, some people don't have a problem drinking alcohol. Some people do. So, you invite somebody to your house, and you get out the booze, and you start drinking the booze, and that person you've invited has a problem with alcohol, how's that person going to feel? They're going to be offended. So don't do it in front of them if you're going to do it at all. That's just one example. All right? Because you're going to offend their conscience. It's better not to do it at all. It's because some people are very legalistic. You know, they say, I mean, when I went to Bible college, you had a certain set of rules, and you certainly need a set of rules. But one of them is, thou shalt not go to the cinema. We weren't supposed to go down to the local flea pit. Because Christians weren't supposed to go to see movies, because they weren't Christian movies. There was, you know, that's a sin if you go to the movies. And even to this day, when I see a movie, I'm wondering, like they say, what? How would you feel if the Lord came back while you're watching a movie? Even to this day, I can't wait till the movie to end in case the Lord comes back before it ends. Not really. That's just a joke. Don't have to take me too seriously. All the time. Bottom line. Paul said it's a sin against God. Sin against God. When we choose to please ourselves. Not caring how it affects other people. In verse 12 it said, thus sinning against your brothers and wounding their conscience when it is weak, you sin against Christ. And in verse 13, he says, therefore, if what I eat causes my brother or sister to fall into sin, I will never eat meat again, so that I will not cause them to fall. So, his point is clear. He was willing to limit his Christian freedom so as not to offend someone else's conscience. In 1 Corinthians 10:23, he says, all things are lawful, but not all things edify. See, we have the freedom to do exactly what we want, but we have to limit that freedom in order not to offend other people's consciences. Am I making myself clear? I hope so. So practically, how is this going to affect us? It's just as relevant today because people were just the same back then as they are now. Just a different culture, that's all. People are people wherever you go. He's writing to the church. How do we make decisions about what we do and what not to do in order not to offend the weaker believer? Well, we can do a couple of things practically. We can ask ourselves some questions. Here's number one. Before I act and do what I intend to do when I've got other Christians around me, is that activity or that habit that I do really necessary? Or should I just give it up for their sake? That's what Paul said. He said, therefore, if what I cause is my brother or sister to fall into sin, I will never eat meat again, so as not to cause them to fall. So we can ask ourselves that question. What I do, is it really necessary? Or should I actually give it up? I remember when I first got saved, I was a smoker. And I'm not condemning anyone who smokes. And smoked for years. And I cut down, even before I got saved, I cut down to about 5 a day. I used to do a pack a day. Except Christmas, I smoked a lot more around Christmas time and other things, but we won't go into that. Thank you. And I still smoke when I got saved. When I got saved, I had a packet of cigarettes in my pocket. Oh, shock, horror. And after I got saved, I still smoked. And then it started bothering my conscience. Because if I bumped into a Christian and I was having a conversation with them, I had to kind of talk like this, so as they wouldn't smell my breath because I'd been smoking, you see. I thought, well, this is ridiculous. I just can't go on like this. So it offended my conscience to do it because I didn't want to hurt anyone's feelings as well. So why not just give it up? Plus the fact, the Bible says that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. So why would I defile it? All right? But I'm not condemning anyone who spoke. People can do it because that's your body. You do what you want with it. But we had to limit that liberty. I had the choice to keep on doing it or keep talking like this. And not try to breathe on them. So they know all the, oh, Jim's a Christian and he's smoking. Oh, we can't have that and feel condemned by the more spiritual ones that don't do it. All right? Okay, that was number one. Number two, ask ourselves, the things that I do, are they helpful and useful and desirable just for my own benefit? Or the things that I do, are they helpful? Are they useful? Are they desirable for the benefit of other people? We should ask ourselves that question. And there's no doubt that if we have the mind of Christ and do what Jesus would do, our actions, all of our actions, will be good and right. And others, hopefully, will be able to follow our example, our godly example. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. He says, don't let anyone look down on you, but set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. Well, that's a tall order. But it's possible if we have the mind of Christ and think like he does. So, let me close. May our life be helpful, not a hindrance to others that we associate with. And may the unbelievers be drawn to Jesus by our life and our conduct and not be put off by what we do. Colossians 4:5. Conduct yourselves with wisdom in all your interactions with non-believers. Make the most of every opportunity, treating it as something precious. Let your speech at all times be gracious and pleasant, seasoned with salt, so that you will know how to answer each one who questions you. That's how we are to conduct ourselves towards non-believers. Bottom line, bringing glory to God should always be the purpose behind everything that we do. That should be our purpose. And I'll close with this verse to prove it. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. He says, whether then you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Let's remember that. Whatever we do, let's do it all to the glory of God. Amen. With the help of the Holy Spirit, we can't do it by ourselves, but we have a helper. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for these passages. Thank you that it's practical and helpful, and give us wisdom to know how to live in this world, to not be an offense. Sometimes that is unavoidable because the truth hurts. But let us do it to be gracious and kind, and not be a stumbling block to the weaker brother or sister that might cause an offense to them or offend their weak conscience. If it's going to do that, let's just not do it, in order that our lives will bring glory to you. There may be somebody listening to this message this morning, wherever you are, and you don't have the power to stop doing the things that you know are wrong. You don't have the power because you don't have the power. You don't have the Holy Spirit to help you to give up things that are not glorifying to God. So ask Him to help you receive Jesus as your personal Savior. And if you ask that sincerely from your heart, believing that you're a sinner, that Jesus died for you, and He was buried and He rose again from the dead and is alive, if you call upon His name, then He will answer your prayer. And then live for Him and bring glory to Him by your life, and share your faith with others so they too can have the power to bring glory to God. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Shall we stand together and all right, I love this doxology in Philippians chapter 1. I've been reading this month. I'll give you another one next month, Lord willing. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. Amen. Amen. God bless you all.
Thank you again for tuning in. If you enjoyed this message, we'd love if you would join us at the First Baptist Church in Coleraine for Sunday morning worship at 11 a.m. We are located at 79 Foundry Village Road in Coleraine, Massachusetts. Hope to see you soon. God bless.